Welcome to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple Podcast. My name is Elton Perdomo, and I am the assistant pastor at Greater Rhode Island. Our goal is to magnify our God through His Word. We pray that as you listen to this podcast, you will be drawn closer to Jesus through these biblical teachings from Pastor Carlos Navarrete.
Take your Bible this morning. We're going to Psalm again, and we're running to Him, Psalm 42. And today, I told the Lord last night, I said, Lord, I think I just want to preach something different. I just was thinking, you know, I'm not really sure I want to go there. And yet, I really felt the Lord say, somebody needs this message. And so this is not a message on joy. Last week we talked about praise. This is a message really of what to do when you're depressed. And the truth is that so many people live in this state of despair many times. And as we come to the scriptures, how many of you are glad that the Bible deals with everything in your life? It's not just, it doesn't gloss over things. It deals with things that many times we don't even want to talk about. How many of you remember that older commercial? Some of you who are younger, you're not going to remember, but remember that older commercial of that lady, that elderly lady who had fallen down, and she had that little device that they were advertising, and it would say something, she said something like this, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." Remember that one? Okay. And I was thinking about that. There's times in your life when you fall and you can't get up. And I'm not talking about physically, specifically. I'm talking today about the fact that sometimes this is true emotionally. It's true spiritually as well. And I'm glad that when we fall spiritually, there's a you can fall into grace, like Micah sang a little bit ago. You can go and run to the Father, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How many of you are glad for that? And yet there's this moment when you can be spiritually healthy, if you will, and standing, and yet emotionally downcast. And those are different than just storms. All of us have difficult moments, accidents, you know, a car accident, or you lose a job, or all of a sudden there's a diagnosis and how quickly that can happen, and all of a sudden there's a moral failure, or you get fired or something like that. And those things come and go. Those are like storms that just go through. And how many of you understand? Everyone's house is built in the path of a storm. But depression's different. Depression is like a constant, continual fog. It just makes life, you know, not make sense. And sometimes, you know, I think as Christians, we can get a little bit cliche, you know, hey, it'll be all right, you know, and get back up, and hey, go on for the Lord, and hey, I'll pray for you. And yet, how many of you understand, you know, sometimes those things don't help. We need a little more than that. There was a man who was being interviewed, a lady actually. They were interviewing people on a street there doing one of those surveys. How many of you have seen those, you know, and they were stopping people and they were asking them questions. And they asked one lady, they said, hey, what do you do when you're depressed? And she's standing there next to her husband and she kind of looks kind of sheepishly and she says, well, when I'm down in the dumps, she says, I go buy a new dress. And he looked at her and he goes, I wondered where you were getting those. Now, some of you are going to get that one later, you know what I mean? Now, listen, sometimes people don't help. Our loved ones don't know what to do. Sometimes we're really not really sure, but we know this is a problem. Depression is something different. People drop out of life. They end up in the hospital. I told you last week how most of the ERs are overwhelmed by psychiatric and psychosis and mental health issues. And our police officers, they're overwhelmed really by these issues. And people end up in the hospital. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes they end up in the grave. I'm a pastor. I often tell you it's not uncommon. You do the funeral, and I've done dozens, probably hundreds by now. And you do a funeral for a wife, and a year later you're doing the funeral for a husband. It just overwhelms you. Now, the Bible talks about it here in Psalm 42. I want you to read in verse 5 and look at the condition of David's heart here as he writes, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" He was in a situation where David here is depressed. And he starts talking to himself. Now, I want you to see here, number one, a serious problem. The problem was in David's soul. The soul there, we use that word in the New Testament. The word is psuche. The word here is nepe, which talks about the inside, the inner man. And he says here that there was something going on in his soul. It was cast down. Now, again, I'm telling you, this is not the message I wanted to preach. It may not be, for some of you, the message you wanted to hear, but it may be one that I think many of you need to hear. Here's some statistics. Think about what I'm going to say. In the United States today, 29% of the adult population has been at some point diagnosed with depression. That's an amazing thought. By the way, in 2015, that was only 19%. So we've seen a 10% rise just in the last 8 years. How many of you would agree it's been a tough 8 years for the United States and for the world, really? So some of that is normal. We have, you know, so many cares of this life. Currently in the United States, it's estimated that right around 17.8% of adults are currently depressed. So we could say it this way. One out of every five people, adults in this room, are battling with this issue. It's a serious problem. It's a multi-billion dollar a year industry in the United States between the diagnosis and the treatment and, you know, the mental health and the counseling and, of course, the drugs and all of that. And then the training that's happening now and workplaces and so on to help people with coping with these issues. It's not something you can just pat someone on the back and tell them, hey, cheer up, it'll be okay, sun will come up tomorrow. What is depression? Here's what somebody said. Depression is a passive or listless feeling. A continual feeling of sadness, an attitude of nothing feels good or nothing's worth feeling good for, a state of constant hopelessness, a feeling that no one cares or that no one understands or that no one really accepts me. It's continual worry and anxiety. Those are the things that's what depression brings. Now, you say, well, how do I know if I'm depressed? Let me give you, these are not original with me. I want you to check and see if you're depressed. Here's a questionnaire real quick. Number one, and examine yourself. Have you lost all initiative? Perhaps suddenly or slowly, all of a sudden, all motivation. You've just kind of thrown in the towel. You know, some people resign without resigning. Do you have repeated crying spells for apparently no cause? I mean, our tears just right there welling up all the time. I'm not talking about being an emotional person. I'm just saying maybe even abnormal to you. You're just, the tears are there. Do you find yourself awakening suddenly at night, not able to go back to sleep? Do you wake up in the morning feeling fatigued and kind of dread to face the day ahead? Do you feel pain, sort of a scattered pain, unspecific, aching all over? Do you find yourself thinking about your own death and afraid that you might have thoughts of suicide? Do you find yourself sometimes just that sighing, like just a heavy feeling in your chest? Have you come to the place where you distrust your own wisdom and have unusual trouble making decisions? You second guess yourself all the time. Do you find yourself sometimes irritable and find yourself cross with others and no legitimate reason for it? Do you find yourself unable to be enthusiastic about anything? If you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, that's me, I feel that, I want to tell you something. This is a serious problem. It comes to so many. Now, somebody here, you need this message. There's somebody watching on live stream right now. I'm talking to you. Somebody's listening to this recording someplace, and you're going to need this. If you're here and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I don't think you're talking to me. Can I just be honest with you? Just because you're spiritually vibrant doesn't mean I couldn't be talking to you down the road. This may be something you need to hear just down the road. I want you to understand something. We can look at scriptures, for example, and see there were some spiritually vibrant people. Moses, the leader of God's people, he's leading them into the promised land. God said there was never a meeker man, a man more powerful and yet more in control than Moses. And yet Moses one time sat down and he said, God, just kill me now. I can't handle it. Elijah. What a man Elijah was. He walked with God so much so that he never saw death. God took him, the Bible says. But Elijah went and sat under a juniper tree one day and moped, and he said, God, just kill me. I'm done. I don't want to live. Jonah did the same thing. Can you imagine going to a city, and I think of this as a preacher. You preach to 1 million people, and everybody repents, and everybody gets right with God, and everybody says, we were wrong, and they come, and they weep, the Bible says, and they put sackcloth on. I mean, there's revivals taking place, and yet Jonah is depressed. You know what? It's very possible for you to be here, a vibrant Christian who understands sanctification and trust and faith and walking with the Lord and the filling of the Spirit and the power of praise, and yet at the same time has this burden. burning. John the Baptist, the Bible says. In fact, Jesus stood up. He said one time, among those born of a woman, he says, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Yet John the Baptist, here's the man who had baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Here's the man who had said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, John the Baptist is cast in the jail and he's sending messengers and he's going, are you the Messiah? I mean, are you for real? Are you really God with us, or what's the deal here? Because I just feel like I've been forsaken. He was depressed. And so we've got to be careful not to somehow label this something that is just a spiritual issue. You know, go home and pray and read your Bible, when in reality, we're talking about something that is over here in the soul, in the emotion. In history, so many people have dealt with depression. We think of these great men, you know, Charles Spurgeon. How many of you have heard of Spurgeon here, right? Charles Spurgeon, perhaps one of the greatest preachers to ever live, certainly one of the greatest, for sure, most of us would say. And yet Charles Spurgeon had many bouts of depression. You read about people like Winston Churchill. Boy, the bulldog, the leader of Britain during the Second World War. I mean, just a man of conviction and of inspiration. You know, he inspired the people of England to step up at a time when they needed to be inspired. And yet he called depression a black dog that chased him. Isn't that something? Here's a man who was a bulldog, is what they called him. And yet he called depression like that dog that chased him continuously. David said, why art thou downcast, O my soul? There were some serious reasons. David had been through quite a season. He had recently lost his son, Absalom. How many of you remember the story of Absalom? Absalom was a son whom he loved, and yet Absalom grew bitter at his father, and the Bible says that he stole the hearts of the people. He eventually stole the kingdom from his dad. He literally made it to where he had to flee. David flees from Absalom. Now, Absalom takes the palace. Absalom takes the reins. It's a military coup. It's a family betrayal, and the Bible says here is Absalom, the Bible says, now chasing after his father, and as they're in the battle, Joab kills Absalom as he gets his hair caught there, the Bible says, in a tree. And now David is weeping and he's saying, Absalom, Absalom, oh my soul, Absalom, would God that I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. And here's David's going, Lord, I'd rather be dead than lose my son. I don't know that I can handle all of this. He couldn't put it all back together. David had lost his wealth. David had lost his position. David had lost power. Here's David. He had gone through a season. He had committed adultery. He had killed Uriah. Because of that, God had chastened him. The baby that had died from the affair died in his arms, and he had to suffer through that. Now, family turmoil. His son raped his half-sister, and now the other son came and killed him for doing so, and it was just havoc. One of his wives were raped publicly. David had such heaviness in his heart. The entire nation, the kingdom of Israel, is now in turmoil and in division. And David comes and he goes, Lord, I just don't know that I can handle anymore. He had reason to be cast down. And as you study this psalm, I think many times we've read Psalm 42 and we think of it as a little, you know, praise and worship song. And I want you to now read it with that context in mind. So let's start in verse number 1. I want you to see the problem, what it had brought to David. Notice number 1, it had brought some spiritual dryness. Verse 1 says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Here he feels like a deer that's been shot. And he's got those dogs, those hunting dogs, they're on his trail. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now we know this psalm and we sing it as a little song, but here's David and he's got a dryness in his soul. He's saying, Lord, I feel spiritually thirsty. I wish you were near. He feels like God has forgotten him. In fact, read verse number 9 to skip down there. I'll say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Now, we know in our heads that God does not forget us. He says over there in the prophets that even if a woman forgot her child, he says, God could never forget you. He has his hands. Listen, your name is written on his hands. How many of you understand? The Bible says hair on your heads is counted. For some of you, he doesn't count very long. But he knows. and he cares. And he, the Bible says, you're on his heart. He had never forgotten David. He has never forgotten you. But there are times when it seems like God has forgotten. Notice number two, there was continual emotion. Verse number three tells us something interesting. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night. He says, all I can taste is tears. He says, my food is just tears. David's crying uncontrollably. People would say, hey, David, how's it going? And it would just start. It's like he couldn't control his emotions. They were just there, right on the surface. He was emotionally shot. On the outside, here's this handsome man, powerful man. But on the inside, the Bible says he's got this sadness. It's a time of continual sadness. There's times like that when you're depressed, you can't control your emotions. It's one of the marks of depression. The emotions are just right on the surface. Notice number three, he had suffered devastating defeat. He felt defeated. Verse three, he says, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David felt ashamed here because here's a man who had written songs and preached messages and told people about his God. And all of a sudden people are asking him, going, hey, where's your God? Where's that God you talk about? Where's that victory you talk about? Where's that joy? You know, where's the praise? What's going on? I mean, and the Bible says here he is, people are now mocking him and mocking his God. He really feels like a poor witness, and that will come. You know, when you're depressed, all of a sudden you lose your joy. You lose your victory. And on top of that, you feel like you've let God down because you can't really be the testimony that you're supposed to be. And it just brings shame and guilt. Notice number four, he had lingering memories. Notice in verse four, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday. He thought about the good old days. He's thinking back to those days when he had victories. Remember when he defeated Goliath? And he came back, and the Bible says, into the city, and everybody was shouting, hey, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. He remember that day, maybe when he brought the ark of God back to Israel, and all of a sudden he's there jumping and singing and praising God, and everybody, the whole entire nation's there just praising God because the presence of God had been restored, because the victory of God was now with them. The presence of God was with them. And he remembers times of serving, and that's what depression does. You think back to those good old days. You think back to times of praising, of serving, of victory, when you stood up in the choir and lifted your voice, or maybe when you were part of just the work of the Lord, and you think to those good old days, and something in you says that those are great, but I don't think those are going to come again. There's this looking back more than there is an anticipating forward. It seems like all that is so far away, so long ago. It just wasn't real to him. David was like, that just seems like such a distant memory anymore. Notice lastly, there were some overwhelming circumstances. In verse 6 and 7, he says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Now, sometimes we read these verses and when they're a little convoluted, we think, what is he talking about? When the Bible mentions Jordan, this is a very important thought. I want you to remember this. The word Jordan literally means judgment. When the Bible mentions here the land of Jordan, and he mentions the Hermonites and the hill of Mizar, he's talking about over there in the city of Dan. If you ever go to Israel, you can literally go and at the foot, literally, of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is 9,000 feet above sea level. And when you go to Dan, you can see literally the waterfalls that flow from the melted snow. This is the highest point in Israel. And you can see that the melting of the snow creates these waterfalls that come down. And at Dan, the city of Dan, Jordan literally means flows from Jordan. So from the city of Dan at the north, the waters begin to flow and they create the Jordan River. By the time they flow down, all the way down, they end up at 13,000 feet below sea level. Dan, and the lowest point now in the entire planet is the Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. And once the water flows into the Dead Sea, they're just stagnant. They just remain there. This is why it's such a polluted. It's a stagnant body of water. And so David feels here, he says in verse number 7, like deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He pictures maybe as a little boy going up on vacation, maybe on spring break or summer vacation, and sitting there under the waterfalls coming down from Hermon, where the Jordan River would be created. And he says, I feel like that. I feel overwhelmed by, he says, these circumstances. They're like a flow, like maybe he says a billow, we would call it a wave today. We would say, it'd be like, you know, maybe you, there was a favorite beach you went to as a kid. And you're saying, Lord, I feel overwhelmed. Like when I was a kid and the waves from such and such a beach would just hit me and they would tumble me over. That's what he feels like. These are overwhelming circumstances. Here is David saying, I have overwhelming amounts of waves of grief coming over me. And this is where people many times say, Lord, I've had it. Why do I live? This is where people leave notes like, dear world, I'm done. I don't want to get my hair cut. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to face another day. David is depressed. Again, remember, he's not a weak Christian. Here's a man after God's own heart. I want you to see it's a serious problem, but let's look at number two, the spiritual provision. Friends, I know this is heavy, but I want you to pause right now and just think with me. How many of you are glad that there is hope in the Word of God? I'm so glad that God makes provision for whatever situation you're facing. And the Bible says here that God has a provision. This is for you. This is for me. This is something you need to store away and something you need to look at. I want you to see, first of all, we need to, first of all, have an inward look at our hearts. We need to start there. Verse number 5, let me explain. He says, why art thou downcast, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? In other words, why are you falling apart? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. So notice what David is saying here. David is talking to his soul. He's talking to himself. Now follow me here. And David says to himself, he asks himself some good questions. He's saying, what is wrong? Why are you feeling the way you're feeling? Notice, he's not talking to his spirit. Now follow me. Your spirit is that part of you which is born when you're born again. When you're born, the natural man, you have a body and you have a soul. Everyone's got a body and a soul. That the soul is what we would call the self, the heart, the inner man. The Bible calls him the natural man sometimes. This is the you. Are you all with me? Say amen, right? This is just, if you will, the natural person. And so here he is, and he is talking to himself. The spiritual side, the new man, the man that's been born again now, David's inner man, the new man, is talking to the soul, the inner man, all right? And so picture this battle inside. Galatians talks about it. You say, no wonder I feel that. Some of you feel it in a continual basis, right? You want to do good, but there's this flesh in you. How many of you are all with me? And so here is the new man, and he's talking to the old man and David. Here is the spirit is talking to his soul. And he says, I've said to my soul, why are you feeling the way you're feeling? David propped his soul up, like grabbed it by the neck. And he said, soul, what's wrong with you? And the Bible says that he asked himself a very good question. How many of you understand what I'm about to say? You can't ever bring your problems to God until you recognize them. I remember about 5 years ago going through a very difficult moment. I've told some of you about that in my own life. And I remember it seemed like everyone I counseled with and everything I read talked about journaling, about just getting a piece of paper out every single day and writing them down. And I remember in my heart, I would always think about it. And I would think, that's what junior high girls do. You know what I mean? That's what some of you ladies do. That's not for men. You know what I'm saying? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you know, the book of Job is nothing but a man's journal. Psalms are nothing but a man's journal. Ecclesiastes was the journal of the wisest man to ever live. Many of the scriptures are nothing but men who wrote down their emotions. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And I've started that process. You know, and you know what I've discovered? This is a powerful discovery for me. I pray that it's a help to you. I want to tell you something. That here is a very simple truth. You can never, ever get help from the Lord until you tell on your soul. Until you say, Lord, I'm angry. Until you say, Lord, I'm frustrated. Until you say, Lord, I am depressed. You'll never get help from the Lord. How many of you understand what I'm saying, right? Isn't that that's a powerful truth. James 1:5-16 says it this way. Confess your faults one to another that ye may be what? Healed. We know this for salvation. Until you confess your sins and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. The Bible says you cannot be saved. It's very simple. Salvation isn't something God gives to the good. Salvation is something, the Bible says, that God gifts to those who recognize they are bad. Can I get an amen this morning, right? It's not something God says, hey, you've earned it. It's got something that God says, I've earned it. My son Jesus died on the cross for you. He shed his royal blood so that you can be forgiven. And if you'll simply come and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. The Bible says he'll forgive you. He'll save you forever. How many of you are thankful for that truth? That's the gospel. And yet, friends, you need to understand, it is much the same way. I'm not saying today in any way implying that you have no reason to be depressed. When you ask yourself that question, soul, why art thou downcast? Many times the answer will come forward. That's where the journal is very important. And you'll, all of a sudden, you will be able to vocalize what's happening in here. Some of you, you've lost a loved one. You've lost a son, a child. I can't imagine that kind of grief. Some have lost spouses. Some have lost a friend. You say, well, what do you do? Listen to what you do. You pour your grief out before the Lord and you say, Lord, it hurts. You've lost a relationship. And can I tell you something? You ask friends to share your grief with you. And then you realize life is not over. And then you realize that the best thing you can do to honor them and honor the Lord is to go on. That God has you here for a purpose. And that that purpose is still alive in you. And that you need to, the Bible says, just for the glory of God, continue to live. How many of you understand what I'm saying, right? Maybe the answer is, I have a broken heart. I've been disappointed. Maybe your parents have disowned you and despised you. Maybe it's just as simple as you've been betrayed. Your husband walked out on you. Maybe your parents, maybe there's another broken relationship. And all of a sudden, you stop and you say, that's my problem. I am downcast in my soul. And you bring that to the Lord. And you realize that he can help you to forgive. How many of you are glad he can help you to forgive? And then you all of a sudden, watch this, realize that he probably has a new relationship for you. And he's got new friends and he's got a new environment. Some of you are here, you're visiting, you're trying to figure out what to do. The Bible says this is possible. Sometimes, frankly, your soul is just full of sin. It's an amazing thing to me. Sometimes people will commit sin, you know, like they'll do that something in their teenage years, and instead of getting it right with God, they just kind of move on and go to a new place and a new school and a new environment and a new place and try to figure out and think, oh, I'm running from it, so that's okay. Listen to me. Until you bring that to the Lord, you've never really fully dealt with it. This is why depression is a very real part of many people. And some of you need to come today and just say, I'm angry. Some of you need to say, I sinned against the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, it can be the unrighteousness that you committed or the unrighteousness that was committed against you. All unrighteousness. He does that. He cleans us from it. You confess it and you make restitution if you have to. But you close the door on that. And the Bible says, and you move on. Why am I downcast, O my soul? You have to start with an inward look at your heart. Now watch this. That's important because you can never come to God unless you understand what it is that you're dealing with. So many of you, you're very good at suppressing your feelings. Let me talk to you for a minute. Some of you, you're not good at suppressing your feelings. You live by your feelings. Now listen, your feelings are a little bit like your children, one author said. Let me explain. You don't want them in the driver's seat. How many of you understand? You don't want your five-year-old driving you home today. Amen. Ring. But you don't want them in the trunk either, bouncing around while you're driving home. They need to be in their car seat properly strapped down. Can I get an amen? Right? It's the same with your emotions. You don't want them driving your car, the car of your life. But watch this. You don't want to ignore them and put them in the trunk either. They're too fragile. You don't want to do that. You say, well, what do we do, Pastor? Watch this. We put them in their proper place. You journal. You express. You come to a counselor. You get Christian counseling. You come to a friend. You say, this is what's going on with me. You have an inward look at your heart. You say, why? For one reason. Not so you can wallow there. That will just bring you into further depression. Listen to me. When you look inside, you find the problem. When you look to Jesus, you find the solution. And so you've got to not just have an inward look at your heart. Number two, you've got to have an upward look at your help. David stopped and the Bible says he analyzes his problem and notice what he does with it. Verse number 7, he says it's like deep calling to deep. It's like water spouts. It's overwhelming, he says. It's coming over me. But notice verse 8. Yet The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Notice what David does. Like in all the Psalms, most of the time he starts with the problem, and now he gets to verse 8 and he says, yet, he says, this is what I know. I know one of these days, he says, this is going to be true. God will make his light. The Bible says that the sun will come up in my heart, and I will once again feel like I am the light of the countenance of God. And he says, one of these days, in the very darkness of night, I'm going to be able to sing. My soul's going to be able to praise him yet again and say, praise God, Lord, for what you did. You maybe, I don't understand what you did, but Lord, I can praise you for it. How many of you can look back to moments in your life that you still don't understand, but you can now praise God for it, right? And David starts to think and he says, Lord, I thank you that in the middle of this darkness, I know the sun's going to come up. And he says, I thank you, Lord, that in the middle of this night, I know one of these days, my soul's going to well up, and the loving kindness of God in me is going to allow me to praise you once again. So you may be sitting here today and you need to have an upward look at your help. You may be thinking, Pastor, listen, no one understands. Listen, I know. You say, you don't understand. I know I don't understand, but that's not the point. The point is, God understands. He knows. He loves you. He's close to you. He understands. You can go to him. We don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feeling of your infirmity, but one who was touched like in all points as we are, yet without sin. He is our help. He is our present help in time of trouble. I love what the scriptures, some of the wise men say. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, we do not live by explanations. We live by promises. And sometimes you may be sitting there and you're thinking, I feel forgotten. By the way, sometimes that's part of the test. Part of the trust is, can you trust God when it doesn't make sense? Can you just go forward? Listen, if you understand, there's no trust involved. But many times in this life, you'll come to moments where going forward simply means, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to go forward for you because you've commanded me to do that. And the Bible says that's what you can do. Listen to what Andrew Murray said. He said, in times of trouble, God's trusting child may say first, he brought me here. It's by his will that I'm in this straight place. And in that I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love. And in his grace, he will give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then, number three, he'll make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, only he knows. How many of you are glad that you can rest in the Lord during your trials? You're there by his appointment. You're there by the sovereign will of God. Number two, he will keep you there. He'll give you the grace to get you through. Number three, you're under his training. He's going to teach you. You'll never be the same. You'll never look at God the same. You'll never sing the hymns in the same way. That'll be more dear to you. The scriptures will be more dear to you. Your family will be more dear to you. Can I get a witness? And lastly, he said, in his time, he'll bring you through. I'll never forget, for our honeymoon, Jenny and I went and spent some time, of course, and we went to church one Sunday, and we were there, and they had a special singer, and she got up, and she sang a song that I'll never forget, and it's become one of my favorites. Some of you have heard it, and it says these words, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. David looked within. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? But he didn't stop there. He looked up. He says, yet, he says, one of these days, the sun will come up. How many of you are glad the Bible tells us the sun will come up again? And one of these days, he said, I'll praise the Lord. Notice number three, he looked onward at his hope. Looked onward at his hope. Verse number 11, he said, why art thou downcast, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Now listen, friends, I know this isn't something that's exciting to some of you, but someone needs to hear this. Listen to me. God is near you. God is close. He's not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. There is hope in the Lord. Here's David talking to himself. Lord, Saul, what's going on? And the Bible says he answers again. His spirit answers, hope thou in God. This is not a wish. A hope in the Bible is a certain assurance. It is a, I'm just waiting because I know my God's going to come through. How many of you are glad that there is hope in the Lord? Amen. So long as there's a God, there's hope. There's two places you don't need hope. In heaven, because, listen, our hope will be made sight. And in hell, because there's no hope that's there. But in the meantime, the Bible says we have this hope in the Lord. What is our hope? The hope is in His promises. Listen to Jeremiah 29. Somebody needs to hear this verse this morning. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That word expected end there is the word hope. To give you what you're hoping for. How many of you are glad? One of these days, the Bible says, you're going to wake up and God will fulfill every desire of your heart. How many of you are thankful for that truth, right? That's a truth in the Bible. Don't let the devil, listen, blow out the candle of hope inside of your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 30, for his anger endureth but for a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I read this verse a couple weeks ago, but I want you to read it again. It's talking about Jesus in Isaiah 61. He says, he came to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. How many of you are glad? Our Lord wants to give us beauty for ashes. The Bible says, the oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what many people feel when they're depressed. The spirit of heaviness, he wants to give the garment of praise that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. One day, the Bible says, you will feel fruitful again and vibrant again, and you'll feel the desire again, and God will do that. And there's hope for the child of God. When you look ahead, we have an inward look at our heart. We have an upward look at our help. And then he says, hey, and just have, he says, an onward look. Look at your hope. For the child of God, every one of you who are saved, you can say today, the best is yet to come. How many of you are thankful that's true? Amen? You say, well, you don't understand. I lost my spouse. I lost my job, my career, whatever. Let me tell you something. You've not lost your hope. Your hope is that one of these days, Jesus is coming back. One of these days, you'll go to be with him. And the Bible says you'll be restored. And you'll have your family. And there'll be, the Bible says, joy once again. Psalm 23 ends this way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he says, and by the way, when that's all over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Friend, forever. This is a serious problem. And the Bible says that there's, with this serious problem, there is some pretty serious symptoms, but there's some spiritual provision made for you. I want you to look ahead. I want you to have hope. There is a sure promise in the scripture. Lastly, there's a sure promise. Would you read verse 11 with me? Look at that. The Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. And my God. I want us to read verse 11 together. I want you to do that out loud. Ready? Begin. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Here's the good news. The Bible says the good news is you can hope in the Lord. This is a sure promise. You can hope in the Lord. You can put your confidence in him. When your hope is in God, listen, he'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. You're here and you're going, nobody understands. I'm here to tell you, there's a Savior that understands. Now, if you're saved today and you're in despair and you're downcast, I feel sorry for you because you have no hope. See, hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Until you come to Jesus, watch this, there can be no real hope. If you're here and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I'm a child of God, I'm saved. I don't think you know what I face sometimes behind closed doors. Nobody really knows. And friend, I don't know. I don't know you. All I know is this. Some people in this room need to hear this message. Jesus looks at you and he says, come unto me, all ye that are confident and have it all together. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. That's not who he came for. If you're here and you want to pretend that everything's perfect and everything's fine, this is probably not the church for you because we're all pretty messed up around here. Come on, help me now. Now, some like to pretend, and there's no help for you. There's no hope for you. There's only one kind of people that have hope. You know who gets grace, the Bible says? God gives grace unto the humble. You've got to come and say, Lord, it's heavy. It's heavy. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, all ye that are heavy laden. And what does he say? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Listen to me. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Best thing I can say to you today is run to the Father. Come on, just come. So we have an invitation every service at our church. Not because coming here there's something magical, but because this is where God meets you. When you come and you humble yourself, that's when all of a sudden the grace of God begins to get poured out. It's amazing how by the time David's done confessing his heart, he's got hope again. Friend, can I just be honest? As many of you, you're living in this, but you're really concerned about keeping the image and keeping the look, and what will people think if I go forward? Can I just be honest with you? Fool you on that. Come to Jesus today. Come to the Lord. And can I tell you something? He will not cast anyone out. He'll not turn anyone away. Everyone that comes to my Savior finds hope. Amen. David found it. I've found it. And I'm going to tell you something. You can find it, but you got to come. You got to come. Shall we stand this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is going to begin to play. Invitation song. We're going to run to the Father today. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, this morning that you understand our plight. You understand our situation. Lord, there are people here who are living in a dungeon. And God, there's nothing that the powerful name of Jesus couldn't deliver them from. If they would just run today to you, Lord, there's such deliverance, there's such hope, there's such help. May you help us today. May we put our eyes on you. Lord, may we look to you, dear Jesus. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Dear friend, you don't have to be depressed. I need to run to Jesus today. If you're here and you're saying, my heart is broken. If you're here and you're saying, my soul is heavy. If you're here and you're saying, my body needs rest. If you're here and you're just saying, I need the Lord, Pastor, would you just come? Just leave your seat. Let's not have hand raising. Just come right out. Step right out. If somebody's in your way, they'll get out of the way. Listen to me. You need to come to Jesus. Just come. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. And he said, I will. I will. He didn't suggest it. He promised it. He said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You need somebody to pray with you? It'll be our staff and team members. They're here. They're waiting this morning. You just come this morning and tell the Lord about it. Bring your burden to the Lord. If you need someone to pray with you, just let me know. We'd be happy to help this morning. Just come. Here's the moment. Friend, don't leave with the burden. Don't leave with that emptiness. Don't leave with the apathy. Here's a moment where the Lord wants to help. If you just come, we want to pray with you. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, dear God, for the fact that you deal with every need of our hearts, that your word, Lord, gives us hope this morning. I thank you, Lord, for these who've come, who've run to the Lord Jesus. Oh God, may you help them today to see hope. May the skies clear. Lord, may their burden get lighter. May they find you. May your presence be real once again. Lord, may they find a friend. May they run, Lord, to those things that you've given, the local church and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd give victory. May we hear chains falling. May slaves today find freedom. May we no longer be slave, Lord, to the heaviness and the burdens of our heart. I praise you, Lord, for this you're doing in your precious and powerful name. If you're here today and you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. How many of you can say, Pastor, I have hope that the best is yet to be in my life? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know that. I'm a child of God. Would you raise your hand? That's me. I know the Lord Jesus. God bless you. What a great testimony. Put your hand down. What a beautiful thing. If you're here today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I don't know that heaven's my home, that I'll spend eternity with the Lord. I would like to know that. Right where you are, would you today just pray this simple prayer? Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Be my Savior, Jesus. Save me. Help me to live the Christian life. Help me not be ashamed of you. Tell him, save me, Jesus. If you'll tell him this morning, he'll do it. He'll do it. Who's here and you'd say, you know, Pastor, I just prayed that simple prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we want to rejoice. Praise God. Would you just simply raise your hand there? And I just want to pray for you as we finish. Anybody here? I just prayed that prayer. God bless you, sir. That's wonderful. Who else? I just prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart, be my Savior, be my hope, the hope of my soul. Now, Lord, I thank you for this man and thank you for his wonderful decision today to put his trust in you as Savior. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd give him hope, the hope of eternity, the hope of eternal life, the hope, Lord, that he has a heavenly Father that he can turn to every day of his life. Lord, I thank you for those of us who are Christians, Lord, for the hope that you give, Lord, for the word of your promise that you'll never let us down, never turn us away, but if we'll simply come, help us to examine our hearts, help us, Lord, to look to our hope, and remember how good and wonderful and powerful you are. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Well, we pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to these truths today. I pray that you will call us or visit us at gribt.com here at the church Monday through Friday. We would love to hear how we can pray for you. And if you made a decision today to trust Christ, please let us know. We would love to get you some resources and help encourage you in your new walk with Christ. As always, you can visit us here in Johnston, Rhode Island, right off of Highway 295 and Exit 10, next to the Citizens Bank Complex. I pray that you had a wonderful day. May God richly bless you.